This is marriage, people. You can look forward to this.
Well, I don't have to.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of this week and kink. This week and kink.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek, and I welcome you all to The Verse this evening. That's right, this is the topic show that was kind of meant for February, didn't kind of happen, life got in the way, deal with it. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd. But I'm joined by my intrepid shipmates, my very own awesome pilot, the blind guy who can't see where he's going.
Shiny, Steve Snowball Sailor.
And I'm joined by the man who can fix almost anything. If he can't fix it, he'll shoot it.
Mike, were you unwed, I would take you in a manly fashion. Ryan, the uneven flow.
Yes, guys. So in this month's topic show, it's actually special bonus round. You guys are going to get two topic shows this month. I'll tell you what.
Not really. It just means in February we missed one.
Yeah. No, not on purpose. Not on purpose.
It was the show they couldn't record.
Although, it's kind of like Fox decided to cancel us. Just before. Yes, we are talking about Joss Whedon's wonderfully short-lived series, Firefly. I am so late to the game on this one. Why didn't I listen to Steve back in 2007? I immediately regret this. And it's funny, because that was our second topic show.
It was.
Because I remember us watching the movie, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Obviously, this show is brought to you by our good friends over at offworlddesigns.com, also bigandtallmart.com, sfi.org, Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club, which will probably jump in membership when the new movie comes out in just a few months.
Yay, I have my advance tickets.
So do I.
I don't.
Get on it.
I don't care. I get to see you for free through work anyway.
But yes.
I threw off the show.
Yes, you did. Also, our other friends over at oneupyourlife.com, Dustin Van Cor, and his basically making your life healthy by being a geek. And I'm trying to think, have I missed? Oh, gameaccess.ca. I'm pretty sure that's everybody. Oh, and audible.com.
Jeez.
I've listed everybody. I think. I've not. I'm so sorry. So, anyway, well, what's everybody been doing since we last had a show back in January, technically?
You haven't had me on in forever, so I don't know what the hell I've done in so long.
I'm trying to think, what was the last show we had you on with, Ryan?
Westerns.
So that was...
August.
Get the fuck out. Really?
Yep.
Oh, Ryan, you're so coming back more often.
I am so unloved. Actually, you know what? Since this is my first show of the year, I want to thank everybody at This Week in Geek. So, Mike, Steve, obviously you two, Mr. Laidman, Laura, God, I know I'm forgetting people, crap Scotty. On a stick, whatever.
Those are the important ones.
Yeah, those are the main ones I record with most often. But I mean, I don't know, thanks to everybody. I hope to do more with you guys this year. And I want to thank every single one of our listeners, anyone who's emailed. I actually read all of the feedback, even for shows I'm not on. Like, I actually read the Brony feedback for the My Little Pony show and everything. I'm always tempted to like respond, even though I know absolutely nothing. But but no, I mean, thanks to all of our listeners, anyone who's read anything on the blogs, just pretty much everybody.
Yeah, I mean,
I would say you could reply back to it. You could just make shit up. That's what I do. Drives pony fans wild.
Oh, so that's how Neil Gaiman starts reblogging your stuff. Make things up. Great.
Hey, that's why I'm a storyteller. Hey.
Actually, that's something we should maybe just kind of talk about before we get into the main show. Me and Steve have done some pretty cool things in the media recently. Steve, why don't you start with yours and then I'll go into mine.
Well, I don't know about it's really the fascinating stuff in the media. I mean, I basically
it's Neil fucking Gaiman. Yes, it's important.
Okay, yeah. So I rebooted my YouTube channel just recently, youtube.com/snowball, and I wanted to be able to do something really cool with it. So I wanted to be able to tell stories, and so I would write stories, and it would be like around 2-3 minutes long, and I would actually record them, shoot them, and then I would put them up on YouTube. And I've been doing that pretty regularly actually for the past month, which is awesome. And one of the stories that that I wanted to do was part of this Neil Gaiman project. I won't go into all the details, but I would definitely just search Google for A Calendar of Tales by Neil Gaiman and BlackBerry, because they do an awesome project there. And one of the stories that I had written for that, just because I was inspired by it, and it was one of the stories I liked, and I had this idea for a sort of a story within that universe. So I wrote in it, and I put it up on YouTube about a week or so ago. And just tonight, like about 5 minutes before we started recording, I found out that Neil Gaiman not only watched the video, but he also reblogged it on his Tumblr, which was amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, now tell your more epic story of the fact that you were on TV, asshole.
Yes. As you guys have been following my Twitter, at Birdman Dodd.
And Facebook and everywhere else. Post.
Yes, I was on MTV Creeps this past week, which you can catch on MTV Canada, multiple times, actually. And I was on the show there with two other contestants, Alicia and Aleem. A lot of A's. Unfortunately, I placed second. Which isn't a terrible loss, because if you're familiar with the show, in their first season, they went after you pretty viciously. Like, they would make fun of you pretty hardcore, or they'd find a way to mock you. With me, they couldn't. In fact, I think everybody expected me to win, because if you go back and watch the finale, them talking about the decision, it seemed pretty clear that I was going to win.
Yeah, they even said it was sort of like the closest decision that they ever had to make in this season. I was like, okay, yeah, fine. That's neither here nor there. But my thinking is, I mean, they just chose the hot chick.
Yeah, but at the same time, I've had a chance to actually know Alicia a little bit better since the show. Like, we, like, talk on Facebook, kind of messenger. She's a pretty funny person, and I sincerely wish her the best of luck moving on into the semifinals. Because if it was close between me and her, imagine what her competition is going to be like.
Oh, totally.
So I wish her the best luck. And the other guy, Aleem, the guy who is in the wheelchair, the chef, he has a restaurant. And if you go back and check out the Twig Insider, which I posted on Friday, we're recording the show on Friday, but it'll be released today, which is Sunday. You'll go back and see there's a link there to his restaurant. I'm not sure if they're open yet, but from what he told me when we were hanging out in the green room, they're going to have a pretty awesome menu, so maybe Twig will go down there and support this guy, because I think he's wonderfully talented as well.
Exactly. You would have been a shoo-in if you had an A in your name.
Yeah, I know. If I was like Alex or Adam or something.
Well, anyway, let's get to this Gar-Am show.
That's right. Okay, guys, so we are talking about Fox and Joss Whedon's epic series Firefly, but before we do, here are just the facts.
Firefly was a space western drama which debuted on the Fox television network September 20th of 2002. The series was created by Joss Whedon, who would write and direct episodes as well as oversee the series as an executive producer along with Tim Minear. Now, the show was set in the year 2517, just after a war for independence between the Browncoats, who were an independent army, and the Alliance, who served as the series' shadowy government. It also followed a group of 9 separate characters, each with their own motivations and personalities, aboard the Serenity, a Firefly-class spaceship. Nathan Fillion starred as Mal, or Malcolm Reynolds. He was the owner of Serenity and a former sergeant within the Browncoats. Gina Torres served as Zoe Elaine Washburn. She was second in command aboard the Serenity, a loyal wartime friend of Captain Reynolds, and also the wife of Wash. Alan Tudyk was, well, Wash. Hoban Washburn, Serenity's pilot and Zoe's husband. Morena Baccarin served as Inara Sera. She was a companion, which is the 26th century equivalent of an escort. Adam Baldwin was mercenary Jane Cobb. He was a hired gun with a penchant for violence, but also had sort of a soft heart underneath. Jewel State was Kaywinette Lee Fry, or Kaylee, the ship's sweet and wholesome mechanic. Sean Marr was Dr. Simon Tam, a medic and surgeon whose life was dedicated to caring for his sister. Summer Glau was River Tam. She's smuggled on board the Serenity by her brother. She was a child prodigy who was experimented on by the Alliance. And rounding out the cast was Ron Glass, who was Dariel Book, a shepherd who serves as the conscience of Serenity and crew, but had a bit of a sordid, dark past. Now, the human race at this point has taken to the stars and are rapidly colonizing various planets. This sort of accounts for the Western aspects of the show. The series did receive critical acclaim during its run and inspired countless fans and developed quite the cult following, but unfortunately couldn't achieve a consistently high enough audience for the Fox network. Therefore, the series was canceled after airing only 11 of the 14 episodes produced. Frequently, some of those episodes were shown out of order, leading fans to believe that Fox had intentionally sank the show. After a number of unsuccessful attempts to get the show back on television, a follow-up film, Serenity, was released to theaters on September 30th of 2005. Despite more critical acclaim, such as winning the Hugo Award in 2006 for Best Dramatic Presentation, and people like me seeing it in the theater six times, the film still failed to find a mainstream audience and made only $38.9 million worldwide, slightly below the estimated budget of the film. Now, both the television series and feature film have subsequently sold well on home video formats, with both of them seeing release on both DVD and Blu-ray formats, sometimes more than once on each. There have also been multiple Firefly comics, which are considered canon within the series, generally being used to tie up loose ends within the franchise or expand upon characters' backstories. The most notable probably being The Shepherd's Tale, which would finally give fans the sordid details of Shepherd's book's past. The franchise has spawned multiple charity events worldwide as well, and has been the subject of a number of different attempts and discussions to return to the airwaves.
Welcome back. Yes, we're talking about Firefly, we're talking about Serenity, we're talking about the amazing verse that Joss Whedon had created for us, and I'm Steve Snowball Sailor for This Week in Geek, and I'm joined with my co-host for this evening. I'm joined by the man who can't fit into Captain Tight Pants.
It's true, Mike Dodd.
And I'm also joined with...
Ryan Merkley. I don't get a cool opening. Ugh, this is what happens when... This is what happens
you
when
get
you're not
the stupid
on since
hat.
August.
I couldn't think of anything. I'm sorry. My improv skills are failing this evening.
Can I just briefly, I want to just pull back the curtain for a second. I had so many funny ideas for the Just the Facts when I was recording it. My favorite one that I came up with was I was going to cut out after about 50 seconds. Like just cut it completely short as if it was canceled midway through. But I thought, like, Mike probably won't go for it, but I still thought it was funny.
That is pretty clever, actually.
Just mid-sentence, just get cut down, just like this show was. Ugh.
Which I can't believe it. I mean, where we're going to start right now is our first introduction to the series. Now, this is a show, Steve, this was our second topic show that we ever did on This Week in Geek back in 2007. And mm-hmm. I watched the first three episodes and I watched the movie and I just didn't dig it then for whatever reason, probably because I was in that, oh my God, I'm in college. I have no time to myself. I must do everything. And
when does that ever change?
Yeah, boy, has that changed for you, Mike?
Shut up. I make time now, or people make me take time. So I started watching this over the course of like a weekend and I am so impressed with this series. I don't know why the fuck I didn't get into it earlier. But it was funny. One of my first introductions to the series is me and Steve are watching the movie, I think we were watching it in my dorm room or my house. Yeah, it was my dorm. And it was the Firefly movie, Serenity. And one of the main characters dies. And I was like, get the fuck out. They killed him? The dinosaur guy?
Yep.
And I just, it floored me. Because now I should have expected this because it's Joss Whedon and he kills everybody. But I just didn't expect it because he was the comedy core of the group, Wash. And I don't know.
By the way, spoilers.
Yeah, well,
you haven't seen it by now.
You've had 13 years and 7 since the movie, so.
Hey, well, you just watched it like 2 weeks ago, so you can't talk.
That's true. Now I know. But I don't know. There was just something about this series. Once I got into it, I really, really like it. Like, I'm really surprised that the brain trusted Fox would cancel this.
Yeah, and sadly, I mean, I as far as my first introduction, I didn't get a chance to watch it when it was on the air because I just didn't know about it, and I just never had seen any commercials for it or anything like that, so it just completely missed my radar when it was on the air. But I actually remember vividly. I had just started working at a call center when I was living in St. Catharines. So this is like about two, 3 years before I started Niagara College. And I remember I was listening to a podcast This Week in Tech, and one of the hosts on there had mentioned the show Firefly, and he said it was so good, and I had heard it mentioned a couple of times from fans and friends and stuff like that, that saying you should watch it, and I was like, okay, but it was sort of him explaining what the show was, it just in very simple terms. I was like, okay, you know what, maybe I should check it out. So I was at a Starbucks at the time, so like, and right next door was a Future Shop, so I walked over and I saw that Firefly the series was on sale for $30, and I was like, sure, I'll take it. I picked it up and I brought it home, watched it within 2 days, and I absolutely fell in love with it. It was every detail was so immaculate. Every sort of mythological everything that was built up within this verse and in this world. I was like, not only did I want to live there, but I wanted to create. I was creating stories in my head of within this universe, and that's when you know you can get me into anything. Is that if there's so much rich content within this within the world that you created that I can start coming up with stories within it, then you've got me hooked. And Firefly was the first one, the first show that I got into like that. And actually, it was the first DVD I ever bought was the Firefly series.
Wow, it took you that long to buy a DVD?
Well, because at the time, I wasn't worth working. I was out of high school, didn't really have a job, and okay. So I was like, it was the first DVD that I bought on from my own money.
Okay, cool.
Why don't you just write some of those stories up with your new pal Neil there, Steve? Jeez. All right. Anyway, my story, I had actually seen the trailer for Serenity was really my first introduction to it. That was at the 40-Year-Old Virgin, oddly enough. The trailer played in front of that movie. I was interested in it. I knew I was going to end up going to see the movie, so I blasted through the series. I pretty much immediately fell in love with it from the point where Mal kicks Crow into the engine in the train job. If anyone remembers the series of quotes before that, you know, it tells them that we'll stay out of this way as best we can. And you explain that that's the best for everyone. Okay. And, you know, Crow threatens him and Mal immediately kicks him into the engine, which was good. But I mean, I fell in love with it at that point. It was pretty quick. I loved the movie. Now, to sort of fill in the blanks for everybody, I do remember seeing the commercials for it on Fox. I could never figure out when it aired because Fox, of course, famously jumped it around schedule-wise, time-wise, day-wise, everything, as if they wanted it to fail. But anyway, the commercials were terrible. They marketed it basically as a sitcom of the week. It didn't look anything like science fiction. It didn't look anything like sort of a space opera or that there would be a persistent universe. It was marketed as poorly as could be, and it's really interesting to compare that to, I remember how good the marketing Universal did how good a job Universal did with the marketing for Serenity. Because if you recall, that was one of the first movies. They released the first 9 minutes of it online. You could get samples of the soundtrack. There's just a wide variety of things shown from it. They did the River Tam sessions beforehand. Things like that, that sort of filled in the blanks and introduced people. So, of course, the movie bombed anyway, so obviously that worked really well.
It was funny that when I first heard about the movie, it was actually when I was working at Future Shop, and some of my my coworkers were talking about movies that summer. And it was I remember specifically because they had mentioned that this is around the same year that Star Wars Revenge of the Sith came out, so Episode 3. And they had these are people that are not movie fans at all. They're not sci-fi fans. They just saw the trailer and they thought, you know what, I'll go check it out. And they said that it was the best sci-fi movie of the year. And they said, like, even though Revenge of the Sith, a lot of people kind of still panned the prequels, it was probably the better of the three prequel movies. And yet they still said that Serenity was the better movie.
Well, Serenity painted a very rich universe, whereas with Star Wars, expectations had to be retarded high for that. I mean, Revenge of the Sith is my second favorite Star Wars movie. But when I look at it compared to Serenity, Serenity had a lot more tension and a lot more, I don't know, the stakes felt higher in it.
Yeah.
Because mostly it wasn't CG bullshit, for one.
True.
It had a flow to it, too. And part of that is something that I want to get into. I mean, we'll talk a bit about the TV show, obviously, and the film. But there was sort of a flow to it. Part of it is the way the sets were built. You really got a sense that it was actually a ship. And it was, you know, the opening shot of Serenity is essentially, Mal walking from, you know, the front of the ship to the back. And yep. It's all one long camera shot. And that just sort of, it encapsulates a lot of what there was to Firefly and Serenity in that sort of flow, the sort of feeling of just going to sort of one place to another. I know, like, Mal at one point says that he goes whichever way the wind blows. And that's really how the series felt. There was just an elegance to it.
What I liked actually about that kind of first opening shot was the fact that you knew, or you got to figure out every character's interaction with Mal, who is considered the main character, within that shot. It was you knew exactly who each person was on the ship within the first few minutes, and then you're just off and running with the story. And then that movie really showed how theatrical and cinematic Joss Whedon can be, because he wrote and directed it. So that was his first foray into movie directing, now obviously when we see him now, everyone knows who Joss Whedon is, which is amazing because of the Avengers. But it's really cool to kind of see his beginnings of it as a filmmaker per se.
This is a perfect segue to back to the series as well. I mean, this was the introduction to the film, and they did a good job. And I mean, for the longtime fans, they introduced the operative and what he means before the credit sequence and the like. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the TV show and its introduction. Well, if anyone remembers this, Fox famously never showed the opening two episodes. Or rather, the opening two-hour episode. They started with the train job. Fox did not like the premiere episode for whatever reason. Actually, the main reason was they didn't like the captain in it. They didn't feel the crew was proactive enough. Wah, wah, wah. So, yeah, it never actually showed, which was terrific. Why would you want to start a series with the premiere?
I don't know. I think I heard they said it was a little bit too. It was a little bit too slow. It just wasn't. It didn't start up as what they with the action as much as they really wanted it from Joss. And so they wrote according to Fox, the first episode, which was the train job, which in a way kind of very easily it like introduces all the characters again, but doesn't seem like it's now we're introducing all the characters again. It just was. It was enough that if you're just getting into it, it's like, okay. And this reminds you of who these people are, and I think you remember hearing that he had written that episode within one weekend
because he was he and Tim Minear. And to me, to me, that's more of a statement on the quality of the work that he and Minear and everybody else that worked on that series were able to bring forth, rather than Fox, rather than praising Fox's judgment. Mm-hmm. It's more of a statement on the quality that everybody, you know, and you can tell too that it's been, you know, how many years now? It's been over a decade, really.
Definitely, yeah.
And the cast, you know, everyone who's worked on this show still loves to talk about it at every Comic-Con, every chance they get. Watch an episode of Castle and watch for the inevitable Firefly reference. I mean, everybody who worked on this still loves it, and that's, there's obviously a reason for it.
What are some of the examples of Firefly references in Castle? That's a show that I just haven't watched yet.
The biggest one is at one point there's Castle, who's played by Nathan Fillion, is about to go to a Halloween party, and he shows up in, or he's putting on his costume again, the one that he wore several years ago, and it was basically almost identical version of Mal's costume, and he called it, they sort of said it was a space cowboy outfit. And it was blatant, but it was just enough that it was like you could like it was enough fan service to see like, yeah, this is cool.
There have been others as well. I mean, yes. The character Richard Castle, played by Nathan Fillion, speaks perfect Chinese in an episode, and he's asked where he learned that, and he said, "Oh, in space." So, another cute reference. There's a lot of sort of nods to that.
I'm not gonna lie, you've now got my interest for this series.
Castle's actually a really great show.
It's good for the nerds. My favorite sci-fi reference ever was him sitting down in the captain's chair at a convention, and first thing he says is, and let's make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise. I loved that. But anyway, yeah, it's one. They've also had Gina Torres on.
I think they've also had Adam Baldwin, haven't they?
I believe so. Not 100% sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so I actually, you know, I'm really interested to hear, Mike, your opinion on the show more in depth, because like you said at the beginning, this is the first time that you've watched this. I mean, I want to say sixth or seventh run through of this of the series and movie, and it's not saying I'm trying to recapture that sort of same feeling that I got when I first watched it, but I mean, because that's still that happens generally. But I want to hear your thoughts of the series now that you've watched it and it's still fresh in your mind as a first viewer.
Well, I finished everything on Sunday and Monday of this past week, and I'm surprised how much it's one of those shows I found you can watch a bunch in a row. Stop, take a break, and watch the rest the next day. It's the perfect series for a weekend. It really is. And I was impressed by the characters, the writing. There are so many episodes I'm like, okay, that's my favorite. Okay, that's my favorite. Okay, that's really cool. And I was just really impressed with everything that I saw in it. I mean, I really would have liked had this thing had continued for 24 episodes to see where it could have gone. And just because there are so many stories in it that were possible with like all these characters. Like I wanted to know more about River. I was hoping Mrs. Reynolds would show up again. Saffron would show up again, because I thought she's like my favorite character of the like kind of secondary people. I would have liked to have learned more about Wash, stuff like that. There's just
dead.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah. That's such bullshit. But yeah, there's just so many things about this that I really liked. And one of the things, as you guys know, I'm a huge astronomy nerd, is this took a more realistic approach to sci-fi in a lot of ways, because I thought Firefly took place across a galaxy or at least a number of solar systems. No, it takes place in one.
Yep.
And I started reading the Firefly RPG. I can't remember who did it. I want to say it was Margaret Weiss, but I'm not sure. And I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, wow, this really only happens in one place. And then I thought back to the series, and I never hear them talk about FTL. I never hear them talk about warp drive or hyperspace or whatever. It's just, you know, it's going to take us a couple weeks to get here. This is how it is. There's all these moons in this system. That explains all the planets. And I was really interested in how the government works in this universe. Once again, I look a little I look really deep into my sci-fi. I want to learn how the society works, how the science works. And Firefly, it approaches it in a way that I haven't seen very many sci-fi shows do. It doesn't, you don't need laser guns. I think there's two in the entire series, and they run out after three shots. And I was just really impressed just by the technology and how respected it was treated, because it kind of comes across to me like the original Star Wars, where it's the used future. It's the dirty future. You saw very few clean interiors of ships. Everything was, there's wire grating everywhere. It's just, it's very much a utilitarian use of the technology, and it's not really glamorized.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, and you kind of touched on a point that it takes a few fans to kind of figure or look into it and find out, and that was definitely done on purpose. I mean, even if you know, or if you happen to notice, whenever you're watching the crew, whenever you're sort of looking at what they do, all the camera shots are all handheld. They're all sort of dirty documentary style look. But once you get into any of the Alliance ships or anything of the Alliance sort of core planets or whatever, everything's all on dolly tracks, and it's sort of smooth camera motions and stuff. It's sort of like a Star Trek kind of feel to it, and it was just the subtleties that they put into this to not only technically but story wise, it was just it's such a just an amazing universe to play in, and I along with obviously probably a couple million people are so in love with the show that's why even at Comic-Con, they had the 10th anniversary of Firefly at this past Comic-Con in last July. And of course, all the cast was there, including Joss and including Tim Minear. And the whole Hall H was full. It was still packed, even 10 years later, from a series that normally today, if there's a TV show that lasts, there hasn't been a TV show like this that has been canceled prematurely that people have cared about this much. And it's amazing that this show is still relevant and still finding new fans like you, Mike, almost on a daily basis.
Yeah, and we talked about this too, that you say that there hasn't been a show canceled like this, and that's entirely true. You look at the other sort of nerd shows that have been canned, and they all at least got somewhat of a run, be it Arrested Development or Futurama or whatever. You know, they got a good few seasons, and Futurama in particular actually had a finale. Now, granted, it's come back time and time again and everything, but I mean, Firefly just maintains, just has stayed dead. And of course, you know, the famous one is Star Trek, you know, canceled after three seasons, brought back over 10 years later.
Yeah.
But one sort can of hope. Today's,
yeah. What it's sort of today's modern television. I mean, with any show could be canceled at any minute. That's sort of what, like, it's like after 13 episodes, we kind of, or 14 episodes, like 12 or two of which didn't even air. It's just amazing that it's still
Fox just never knew what to do with it either. Exactly. I mean, like I say, they marketed it as a sitcom of the week, and they showed off the quirky dialogue and tried to make it seem like a comedy. Yeah. They very much downplayed the sci-fi aspect, and I would say even more downplayed the Western aspect, which is something that at the time I thought really set this apart from other science fiction shows. You know, you mentioned the realism of having it in one solar system and the like. Well, what about the realism of using the Old West and seeing these places that have not, you know, really been finished being terraformed or merged into the Alliance or that kind of thing? And you talked about how they shot the Alliance much differently than they did the cast the crew of the Serenity. What about the shots that are outside as well? I mean, they shoot those completely different as well to sort of show, you know, how wide open a lot of these places are, that a lot of these planets haven't been fully colonized and they still have a ways to go to really be what the Alliance in particular would consider civilized.
Yeah. And you got to remember, I mean, I'm not saying we kind of downplayed it, but yeah, I remember this show got a freaking movie. That has never happened. It was like that they got a freaking movie made from a canceled TV show that barely lasted half a season. Like, that is like, so extremely rare that it is so miraculous that this show was able to get this made, this movie made. And, like, you know what? I mean, I know everyone would – I know even on This Week in Geek, everyone that has seen it would love to see a Serenity 2. And I am huge – I would be first in line to be able to see it. But you know what? Even if for whatever reason they never decide to – or they're never able to be able to make a Serenity 2, I am happy with the set, with the love letter that Joss Whedon had made to his cast and his crew, and just to the series that he wished he could have kept going with.
Yeah, because I find it got a good send-off where it gives you the possibility of what could happen. I mean, it's kind of like, I would almost compare it to Star Trek, The Next Generation's finale, All Good Things, where Picard's like, let's see what's out there. I think that's one of the final lines that he says.
Yeah. And when actually, it's sky's the limit is the last line of.
See, I wasn't sure of that.
Star Trek TNG. Let's see what's out there is the final line in Encounter at Farpoint. Okay. I am a total nerd.
Fucking 10 points to you for that one. But
I'm going to correct your grammar next.
Oh, bite my ass. I like the idea. It leaves the possibilities open, or if it doesn't continue, you're okay with it. The fact that the story on River Tam has come full circle. Kaylee and Simon are together.
The sort of sad aspect is, I mean, has always maintained that the discovery of Miranda and essentially what we see in Serenity was going to be the second season finale.
Oh, and that the Alliance created the Reavers.
Yeah, he had planned that this would be the season 2 finale, and the show was planned out to be roughly 7 years. Oh, so, wow. I mean, I always wonder, you know, or hope to see what was going to be after that.
Well, yeah. Everyone kind of does.
I mean,
yeah,
and where would you go?
Well, I mean, you touched on it as well. There's a lot of characters we don't see in the movie, and maybe I'll sort of transition into the film now with this. But, you know, we don't know what happened with Saffron. Saffron, for people who don't know, in the series was played by Christina Hendricks, played very well. You know, she pretends to be Mal's wife, and actually she pretends to be pretty much everyone's wife, and then robs them blind and steals away their dignity, much like my ex. And so that was a long way to go for one line.
That was.
Thank you. But no, I mean, she was terrific. I'd love to see her again. One that we haven't mentioned at all from the finale of the TV series was Jubal Early.
Oh, totally.
He was amazing.
Fucking Boba Fett, yeah.
Yeah, he's a bounty hunter. And by the way, you can see his ship in earlier episodes following around the crew, which is awesome.
Really? I never noticed that.
Yeah, it's very faint.
Watch the episode Trash is the clearest shot of it. You can clearly see, and it is meant to be him and his ship. Yeah. It's a really nice touch. But anyway, I mean, he was played by the same actor who played Mr. Robinette on Law & Order in the early years. Did a fantastic job. Whedon, again, has always maintained that Early survived that encounter. He was picked up before his oxygen ran out, and he was always meant to return. So he's another one.
But does that seem right to you?
Yeah. Mark Shepard's Badger. I loved
him. Yes. Badger was
I would have loved to see him. And of course, he, you know, essentially gets replaced in the film. We have no idea what's happened to him. He's alive in the comic books, so in theory, he's still alive. But he was another one of those tertiary characters I wanted to see again. I wanted to see Mal's revenge with Niska.
Yes.
Yes.
Robbed of that as well. So, I mean, there's all these characters in this solar system that we could run into again.
And there's no character that technically has died that can never come back. I mean, it's never mentioned, like, it's never mentioned in the series or in the movie, but the character that's in the very very beginning episode, the is part of the crew, the Dotson, the one that is the Alliance mole. In the comics, he's alive and well, and he's out for revenge on Mal. Yeah. So that's the thing. Everyone is sort of wondering, well, how would they bring back the characters that were sadly met their end in the movie? Joss has a few more tricks up his sleeve that he hasn't shown yet that I think would please a lot of fans.
I think he'd have a really hard time bringing back Wash. He got a fucking Reaver spike through the stomach.
But it's science fiction. But on the other hand, too, there's the fact that Whedon has said the movie happens roughly 6 months to a year after the finale of the series, but they never necessarily pin that down. You could always go back in between and have untold number of stories before then.
Yeah, that's true.
Although it'd be difficult as the actors have aged. So who knows? You could always make, you know, maybe, I don't know, Wash was an alliance, an experiment or some crap.
Flashback, maybe.
Yeah, always an option. Yeah, they did flashback during the series, which was nice. And that was another good episode, Out of Gas, where we got to see Mal's first meeting with each of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Another sort of solid backstory for everyone. And another episode that proves a lot of care went into the series.
Yeah, totally.
This is really depressing me. I hate you so much, Fox. I just want to get that across. If there's anyone listening, I'm annoyed enough about Futurama and everything else, but rewatching this was just a roller coaster ride of, yay, this was such a good show. God, there's only a couple episodes left. Screw you, Fox.
See, one of the things that really got me about this series is I was generally surprised how much went into character development. I mean, one of the characters that's one of my favorites is Jane.
Yeah.
He's an asshole. But he's an asshole.
Out of all the characters, I think that one was the one I was going to pick. It's like, yeah, that's probably going to be Mike's favorite episode.
Yeah.
Or favorite character.
Episode will be Janestown then.
Yes, I love Janestown. I like that, though, how he's like, I'm no hero. I like how there's so many layers to him. And I love the fact when he betrays the Tams and Mal's going to launch him out the friggin' back of the ship. And he's like, don't tell them what I did. That's what made me love
that entire scene was terrific. And it really added a lot more to Malcolm Reynolds that we thought we knew how far he would go to defend his crew and his people, but we got a much greater sense of it there.
Yeah. Another one of my characters, I didn't expect to like her as much as I did. Inara really kind of got into her. I mean, the whole being a member of the Companions Guild, basically high class escorts and whatnot. They're not just sex or seen as like kind of diplomats too.
It's funny you bring that up because we're actually recording on International Women's Day. And I mean, I thought one thing that was really impressive was, to be perfectly blunt about it, she brought an elegance into what is
the oldest profession.
In present day, let's be honest, it's looked something that's looked down upon, and women and sexuality are still thoroughly not accepted, unfortunately, by everyone.
It's kind of like it kind of fits into that whole Wild West theme where a woman or a madam would have a house full of whores, I guess, and they would be the respectable one.
Yeah, and she very much controlled herself as well. She was a very strong character. It was really nice to see Kaylee as well as a strong character in different ways. And obviously River was an ass-kicking machine. But I mean, of the cast too, Inara kind of is one of the ones that got robbed badly by the cancellation in that, I mean, she was – it's clear if you watch the series – at least it's supposed to be clear, and it was going to happen later on, but I mean, she's dying of an incurable disease.
Mm.
And that was something that was going to be added to, or would have added to the character and her storylines. And I mean, you see hints of it in the episodes that we've seen, but of course, you know, the series was canceled before it came out blatantly. But I mean, there was the injection in the first episode with the Reavers. You see her injecting herself or ready to inject herself with something that wasn't a poison to kill her. She references it again in Heart of Gold that she just doesn't want to die.
And actually, it sort of kind of ties into the actual actors themselves. I mean, I will say this. I mean, as regards to Inara, I actually had the pleasure of actually having a conversation in person with Marina Baccarin, who plays Inara, and it was actually at Dragon Con a couple of years ago. And this, like, I had the chance to, just to quickly interview her. Actually, if you go back in the This Week in Geek Archives, it's the Dragon Con 2008 episode is the one where I had a chance to talk to her. And she absolutely loved that series. And you can tell, like, just the thing that doesn't come across in the interview was the passion that she had in her face when she was talking about Firefly, and sort of the sparkle in her eye when she would talk about it, talk about her and the cast and Joss, and that she was that when she was there, she was also like the table right beside her in her signing area was Jewel State, who played Kaylee. And I asked her about what was it like to sort of talk to Jewel again, and she just lit up, and it was like she said it was like seeing family that you hadn't seen in a long time, and it felt so amazing she had that same elegance that Inara had, and that sort of a passion for the show and the character that she was able to portray.
That's another thing. I mean, this launched the science fiction careers of each of these actors and actresses. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of them, you know, had been in other Whedon things. Actually, all of them had been in other Whedon things, except for, I think, Summer. Actually, Sean Mars. Well, anyway. But, I mean, since then, obviously, Nathan Fillion's done pretty well for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Baldwin. Jewel State's been on a ton of shows, including, you know, Stargate, which is another franchise that's run forever.
Yeah. Alan Tudyk made a big run in movies as of late.
Yeah.
He was just actually in Wreck-It Ralph, believe it or not.
Yep. Tremendous voice actor, too. But, I mean, all of these people have gone on to be in a number of different things within the genre. Another thing, you know, that sort of points to how much talent was involved in this show and in the film.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I guess we can start kind of talking about now, because we've talked about the movie, I would say, a fair chunk, and everybody else. What about some of the things that have spawned out of this series? I mean, there's comic books. There's surprisingly hasn't been a video game, or at least one that's been released. Tons of action figures, a lot of movie props from this. There's conventions dedicated to this entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess is who owns what here in the group? I only own the DVD right now.
Boom.
I'm very much looking into a replica of Jane's assault rifle Vera.
Nice.
Because that thing looks fucking cool.
It does, yeah. I'd say the stuff I have the DVDs definitely of the series. I'm still yet to get the Blu-rays, but I have 3 copies of Serenity, one on PSP disc. I also have it on regular DVD, and I have the special edition on DVD as well. That the only one I have yet to get is the Blu-rays, of course. I have a few sort of Serenity keychains here and there. I have the comic book, or at least the one that was made in between, or that was set in between the series and the movie. And I don't really have any action figures or any other prop replicas other than that. I would love to get my hands on Mal's pistol. That'd be amazing, or at least a better scale replica of Serenity in my collection. I mean, I don't really have a huge collection. I'm not necessarily a collector as much as you guys are, but it's one of the things I think I could find a place in my apartment for a revered place for that replica.
There is something that I saw a couple of years ago, and I'm probably going to try and find this at some point. It's a map of the Serenity Universe solar system.
Like, I think wasn't that in the RPG? Because I remember hearing about that.
But it's very small. The one I saw years ago, and I'm 90% sure that I've seen this. It's like movie poster size. So you can tell scale differences between planets. It gives you a little bit of information about each.
Yeah.
I want that so I can know more.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's another thing too. They actually, during the series, they actually talk about different environments and terraforming accidents and stuff like that. That's something I did not expect. I'm thinking, ooh, they're mixing some real science in here. But yeah, some of the stuff that I would like to get from the series. Actually, I think I've got a shirt, the Blue Sun Corporation. I think I've got that somewhere. There's just so many cool little things. Like, I know there was an entire series of action figures, though I don't know who produced them off the top of my head. If I had to guess, I'd say NECA. Lots of licensed props. I know there's a Firefly that lights up.
Yes.
And it's like a scale model. I think it was like $200-$300, which is a fucking bargain when you really think about it.
That's what that's the one I wanted to get. Actually, Ryan, what do you have?
All right. First of all, it's the Quantum Mechanics is the poster that Mike's looking for of the entire universe. They, by the way, are coming out with a 10th anniversary art print later this year.
I just found it right now.
Oh, okay, which is looking pretty sweet. So anyway, but for me, obviously I've got like the DVDs. I've got two copies of Serenity, the original, and then the collector's edition. Then I've got the Blu-rays of the series and film. And then beyond that, I have, all right, the keychain of Serenity, as in the ship. I've got the movie poster that's framed, which I really, really like. That is one of my favorite posters.
Which version do you have?
I have the one with River out in front of the crew, and it's "They aim to misbehave" is the tagline.
Nice.
Yeah, I always like that. I've got all the comics, obviously. There's a real shocker. Ryan has comics. I know. It's hard to believe. But and somewhere kicking around, I have a one of Jane, or a replica of Jane's hat from the series. The knit hat, anyone remembers. That.
That's my dice bag, isn't it?
That's my dice bag for anything we do with Twat is the Jane hat, which was handmade. So it's not exactly accurate to the show.
You see a man wearing that hat, and you know he's not afraid of anybody.
Exactly. Or anything. Exactly.
Now, I know there's conventions for this thing, or at least there always seems to be a big part of conventions for this. Ryan, isn't there aren't some members of the cast coming to the Ottawa Comic Con?
Yeah, Ottawa Comic Con. It's Jewel State and Summer Glau are both coming up here, and they're going to have a panel with the two of them on that show and movie we've been talking about. Obviously, like, both of them have done a number of other things, but if you go to the Comic-Con website, the first thing they advertise for both of them, of course, is Firefly. I mean, it's still loved. I bet you anything, I will have a number of pictures of people in Firefly cosplay and everything there. It's ridiculous how popular this still is.
Yeah, I'm actually just kind of looking on eBay for some of the things that are available from Firefly in terms of merchandise. Did you know there's a Lego kit?
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
I don't think it's official, if I remember right, but yeah. I'm not 100% 100% on that. Yeah, there's that. There's been a lot of other things. One thing we didn't mention, too, is some of the fan stuff that's popped up. I mean, there was recently another documentary on the fandom.
Ooh, tell me more.
And actually, I shouldn't say recently. It was a while ago now. Also, fairly recently, I believe, there was a fan-made film, which was sort of endorsed by Whedon. Oh. He has no problem with it anyway, about the Browncoats. And it's just, you know, 10 years later, there's still heavy involvement. I can't remember if I edited this out or not of just the facts. But, I mean, there's still the Serenity now. Viewings of the film, which raise money for charity as well, pretty much yearly.
Yeah, I think also for charity, they also did, or the fans got together and found the medical ship in Ariel, and they've sort of refurbished it and fixed it up and was able to sell that in an auction for charity as well, which was amazing.
You know what's weird? I'm just kind of looking over some of the prices on eBay. I cannot believe how expensive some of the action figures are. Like,
didn't make many of anything. No. That's one of the issues of this being sort of short-lived, and
merchandise is hard to come by.
One thing I've referenced but didn't really get to either, let's be honest, and as well, unfortunately, the movie tanked.
Didn't it just make back its budget, or it didn't make back its budget?
It made enough to pull even.
Yeah, roughly. Not counting advertising, though, which kind of pulls it
But that's the thing, though. It wasn't like everybody involved with the project of the film. Yes, they would have loved to have seen it make a big box office smash with it, but it was made for the fans, and just the fact that they actually were able to break even with it.
The DVD sales and Blu-ray sales, and the fact it's been reissued a number of times too. Mm-hmm. All sort of point that it definitely made money in the end for Universal, but we're in the age, unfortunately, right now, where if you're not, you know, crossing that 500 million mark, you're a failure, essentially, which is seriously unfortunate.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're living in a Hollywood that they still say that they've never made any money off a Back to the Future franchise, which is still ridiculous to think about it, but whatever.
What? Really?
Oh, you never heard this? Yeah, no. there's been analysts and big people in Hollywood that have said, yeah, Back to the Future has yet to make its profit back.
Get the fuck out of here. Considering how much merchandise is for that, that's ridiculous.
Think about it this way. Like, in order to be able to make that merchandise, they have to put double the amount of money in to market it. So if they don't break even, they come out at a loss.
Wow, fuck people.
Yeah, well, what can you do?
Oh, I'm just trying to wrap my head around that.
I think it just blew your mind.
It really did. Like, goddamn. Like, I honestly assumed that would be one of the most profitable franchises ever.
But nope.
I would have expected this to have been a profitable franchise as well.
It's weird. You know, it's weird. Sci-fi, it catches some people and it doesn't catch others, yet it's almost universally loved. And it's funny, like, some franchises have this ridiculous following, and they shouldn't. Let's be honest here, Twilight.
I was about to say.
And this just didn't catch on. I mean, would this succeed now? Yeah, so let's kind of transition into our final topic of discussion here, the future. If Firefly were released in fall 2013, would it succeed?
I think it would have a better chance, partially because, and I think you guys are both going to agree with me on this, I hope. And if you don't, then shut up. But this is one of those shows that if you've got a friend who's not into science fiction, be it a girlfriend or a best friend or whatever, this is a great show to show them.
Yeah.
As is the movie. It's one of those that it works for people whether or not they like the genre. And this is a terrific stepping stone into other or even harder sci-fi. And it does it in a way that even things like Star Trek and maybe even Star Wars can't. I mean, there's just something about it. It's that flow. It's the dialogue. It's sort of everything. And I mean, I don't even remember how many people have sort of turned on to science fiction by having them watch this first.
Well, it's interesting you kind of mention that, because a lot of things that sort of Joss Whedon creates is great sort of gateway drugs into a really great genre. I mean, with Buffy, I mean, it's that sort of was the great gateway drug for vampire
and fiction.
And horror as well. And then you got Firefly, you had sci-fi, and you also had westerns. And then technically, even if you go into the big scale of things with the Avengers, I mean, it was like you don't necessarily have to show anybody or that has never seen any of the Marvel movies leading up to the Avengers. You could still watch the Avengers and be able to enjoy it as much as anybody who has seen all the movies themselves. I mean, now he's even doing it for Shakespeare. He's about to go on a tour with Much Ado About Nothing. Nothing that he shot for within his house for like one month out of a summer kind of thing with friends, and he creates these great gateway drugs, and we just want to keep going back to our dealer for more. I think as far as the future for Firefly and Serenity, if it was made this year and released this year, I don't think it would probably be on television. It's with Joss's love for online and the internet, obviously with Dr. Horrible. I think he probably would have made it an exclusive deal with maybe even Netflix, because we got House of Cards, which is doing extremely well on there. I think if he made it specifically just with Netflix or even like a Hulu or something like that, I think it would be successful, not only because of the cachet that Joss has had in the fandom within the Whedonverse, but now with the sort of the general public that you can easily advertise this and market it. But all you have to – you don't even have to mention necessarily about the success or the fandom that has surrounded Firefly and Serenity. All you need to put in there was the writer and director of the Avengers. And that can get a lot of people in the general public to be able to think, yeah, you know what? I think I might check this out. Sci-fi, maybe a little bit of Western. That seems pretty interesting.
Well, how much do you think the show would cost to produce if it were done by Netflix?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I sort of was looking into a bit of interviews and research about House of Cards, which they gave House of Cards, which is a Kevin Spacey show. If you haven't checked it out, check out Pilot Pickup on This Week in Geek. We're going to be talking about that actually with coming. We're going to have our thoughts about it on with about a week or so. But it's a great sort of government drama that's really amazing. And they were going to put it up on HBO. They had all plans about it, and what Netflix did when they approached them was they made them the better deal. And we found out actually from one of the producers the better deal was Netflix gave them 2 seasons right off the hop, and they hadn't even made a pilot yet. It was just that they gave them the money to be able to make it, and all they really needed to be able to get. I actually looked at the breakdown of this, and they said that they can get 500,000 subscribers onto Netflix. It would make the amount of money they have initially invested for House of Cards. So I think if they could be able to get at least either a 13-episode season or a 22-episode season of Firefly, you can get it for a lot more money. And I think it would be stupid for Netflix to even not even consider this kind of an option. That they would get tons of subscribers just based off of that, and it would probably make its money back.
See, Netflix, if you're listening, just saying.
Fox, if you're still listening, you still suck, and I hate you.
Next week on Review-O-Rama, I review some Fox movies.
But I mean, and I'll use the Star Trek analogy again. I mean, look at that. It was dead as a doorknob. Mm-hmm. 13 years later, it got a film. So who knows? We're not even 10 years out from Serenity. Never say never, basically, is what I'm getting at. I think the fans have the right idea to sort of keep it alive and remember it. I mean, it's still, you know, rabid essentially about the show. I can't say I blame them. Anyone who's listening to this who hasn't watched it, I mean,
check please, it out. It's ridiculously good.
Yeah, go
out
and pick it up. It is definitely worthwhile.
Listening to this episode, because you just got spoiled a lot in this episode.
Well, I tried to keep it at a minimum. I thought, you know, that's why we didn't talk about episodes specifically and the like. But I mean, there's still a ton of stuff, and there's still a ton of events and things we didn't, you know, talk about. So it's still worth it to go back to. If you're somebody who's listening to us and has watched it, rewatch it. I mean, it's definitely worth the time invested.
Yeah, like I can't think. I mean, if you have a weekend where you're sick at home in bed, or if you just have 2 days, you have nothing else to do. Seriously, says sit down and watch it. It's a ridiculously good way to pass the time. It's a good show to marathon. I don't recommend doing all 14 in a row because I did it and only made it as far as like the 7th episode. I'm like, okay, I can't do this anymore.
Because you're weak.
Because I'm weak. But it's one of those shows, it's a good way to kill a few hours and you're genuinely entertained.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. I even though I have the DVDs, I actually was like, ah, you know what? I'm going to watch it on Netflix. It was a little bit easier just to pop in that than it was to just try to.
That's the same thing I did. No. I have the Blu-rays and I watched it on Netflix.
Well, the thing is, what I actually didn't even notice before that they actually included in the Netflix versions, they actually included the introductions to the show with the setting up the universe and then the previously on. I was like, I hadn't seen this before. And it was like, even though I'd seen the same shots over and over again, I'm like, I could keep watching this. This is amazing. I've seen something that I have never knew existed on any of the DVDs or Blu-rays. So it's just there's always something new you can get out of the show, even after if you haven't watched it in a while.
Look, I mean, for Jubal Early's ship.
Oh, like I actually haven't watched.
See how hot Christina Hendricks is. Listen to how bitchin' Mark Shepard's voice is.
I would actually say, I mean, this is Christina Hendricks before Mad Men, so
she rocks being a redhead amazing.
Totally.
She rocks doing anything amazing.
And it's weird, as one of the final things I want to mention, a friend of mine who attends Con Bravo with us, my friend Tiffany, Jamie from the Prototypes girlfriend, she cosplays as Kaylee And she has the umbrella. She has the pants with the teddy bear on it. And she looks a lot like her. And it's weird. I cannot watch anything Firefly without thinking, that's Tiffany. It's really fucking weird. And I've seen people do some amazing cosplays, and I can't help but think of, okay, that's them.
All of the characters are fantastic. I know we kind of gave both the TAMs really the short end of the stick here, but I loved everybody on this show. I loved the job Sean Marr did as Simon,
and
you know,
Ron
the love
Glass
he shows for River. Yeah, we really didn't mention Book at all. He's terrific.
Oh, my favorite line still of his is when Zoe asks him, is like, doesn't the Bible shame on killing? And he goes, yes, it does, but it doesn't say anything about kneecaps.
Yeah, it gets kind of fuzzy where kneecaps are concerned.
Yeah, that's
yes.
And honestly, Summer Glau, you're right. We kind of gave her the short end of the stick. I mean, she's a wonderful actress when you give her something to work with. I mean, she doesn't have a whole lot to say, but she expresses so much through body language.
She had to be all over the map in this, too, which has got to be really difficult. I mean, I'm no actor, obviously, not even a podcast. The amount of work it had to take to just sort of yo-yo, you know, she has to go up to 10 and then all the way down to -5 in terms of emotion from shot to shot. And yeah, that's very difficult. I mean, she's gone on to do a number of things. She's been quite good in a lot of them. She's actually done some pretty solid voice acting as well, including like Superman, Batman, Apocalypse and others. So, I mean, you know, she's another reason this series is worth checking out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, like I said, if you've got the time, even if you're not hardcore in the sci-fi, give this series a shot. I think you're going to be really surprised how much you like it. And then inevitably your rage will build against Fox.
Yeah. Once you get to the end and you realize, that's it. Now,
exactly. This is like someone taking away your last meal as you're going to death row. Like, do you want that last chicken burger?
And
I can't have it.
I dare you, if you're watching it, or even if you're for the first time or you're watching it for the 50th time, I dare you not to watch the end of the episode, The Message, and not cry. I dare you not.
It's hard.
Oh, that hurts. Because even the behind the scenes of that was the last scene that was actually shot before they actually canceled it, and it was, they knew it was going to be gone, and even the composer knew that was the last piece of music he was going to compose was for that last scene, and you can hear it in the song. It's just like it's so sad, and when watching that, it does feel like a family member died. Anyway,
the movie was more of a gut punch to me, to be honest.
Yeah, there's that too. We had our hopes up, and then all of a sudden we had it gutted out, much like Coulson did in
Yeah, Whedon maintains his ability to kill off characters abruptly and quickly.
Yeah. But it's never done not tastefully.
Yeah.
It's never just because
it always will serve the story. It's not just for shock value, which sometimes it is, but it's always to serve the purpose of the story. But anyway, I think my final thoughts on Deathly would be, please, if you have it, just rewatch it. It's just an amazing show. And then tweet and message the people involved, whether it's Joss or even Nathan Fillion. I know a lot of the cast are on Twitter, so definitely message them and say, hey, thank you. And just thank them, because it's just an amazing, amazing piece of television, amazing piece of art.
Absolutely. Come to Ottawa Comic Con and talk to two of the cast members, or talk to me.
There's that too.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for this episode of the talk shows. Like I said, really sorry we didn't get to this in February, but I'm glad I had a week to kind of sit on it to realize what this series meant to me. And I'm going to say it's in my top 10 television series now, for sure. So I am going to look into getting some Firefly stuff for around the apartment. And who knows, maybe I'll do some kind of a cosplay for this when I lose a little bit of weight. So later on this month, me and Scotty are going to be taking over the topic show, and we're going to be talking about Dragon Ball Z. We're going to be interviewing Chris Sabat, who's the voice of Vegeta for the show, and maybe a couple other cast members as well, to get their thoughts on the series and Dragon Ball Z Kai and everything else. And then in April, I quite don't know what we're doing just yet. I'm sure it'll be... Maybe we'll do something funny for it being the month
Breaking
of April.
Bad. Oh, wait, that wasn't funny.
Yeah, no, we got to save that for July. It can't be over.
Sorry, it breaks my heart. At least Game of Thrones is starting up soon, and that makes me feel a little better. We still have Walking Dead and other shows.
And Doctor Who's coming back.
Yep, yeah. That's another one.
So we have lots of stuff to look forward to. So hopefully you guys will join us next time on the show. As always, keep a lookout for Steve's show, Pilot Pickup, and more These Warriors Are Terrible. We're going to be finishing up our Star Wars adventure in the next couple weeks. And then Steve's taking the show for D6 Matrix, a system which doesn't exist yet. And then I know in May we're doing Pendragon and some other stuff. So, yeah, trust me, lots of good stuff coming up on the show. And, well, guys, I guess until next time, we have been...
Steve Snowball Sailor.
Ryan the Uneven Flow. See you in another 7 months.
I am Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, I'm a leaf on the wind.
Oh, hurts.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't make it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender.